From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, HHS gets a transgendered assistant secretary, Arkansas tries to help confused kids, and South Dakota's governor flip-flops on men in women's sports. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. Family Research Council president and Washington Watch Live host Tony Perkins was out this week as he celebrated his anniversary by getting away with his wife. And on Wednesday of this week, Washington Watch Live was guest hosted by Joseph Backholm. Joseph is the senior fellow for Biblical Worldview and Strategic Engagement at Family Research Council. And for our first segment, he was joined by Roger Severino, senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, to talk about the Senate's confirmation of Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary Rachel Levine, an openly transgendered man.
Well, Roger, tell us what this confirmation means for this agency and for Americans who are just watching this.
It is a scary time in American history. The question is, will ideology be put ahead of science? Biden said he's going to be listening to the scientists. We've heard this so many times. But Dr. Levine, I fear, is going to put a transgender ideology first ahead of biological realities, which, of course, matter tremendously when it comes to the practice of medicine, the advancement of science. I dealt with this issue extensively when I was at HHS. We rolled back a transgender mandate under Obamacare. We examined all the science. HHS itself has said that it's not going to issue a national coverage determination for sex reassignment surgeries because the data is not in. It's not enough to support it. Yet I'm afraid that Dr. Levine will come in with an agenda to start radicalizing the practice of medicine to pursue this ideology that's not supported by sufficient science.
Does Dr. Levine have a history? We know that his own story of changing genders, but is there a history there of activism while in public service on these issues?
Oh, most certainly. So when I was examining this question of what to do with the transgender mandate under Obama, I actually invited the leading names in transgender medicine. That included Dr. Rachel Levine. And we met at HHS. I heard that same presentation that Levine offered Senator Paul at the hearing when being questioned about what about cross-sex hormones and surgery on minors. The answer was, oh, it's a complicated issue. I'll give you a briefing, Senator Paul. I had that briefing when I was at HHS. I heard it directly. And the answer was yes. Yes, minors should be given cross-sex hormones and surgery when they have gender dysphoria. This should come as no surprise to anybody that Dr. Levine would take this position. The activism runs deep. It was, I think, evasive to the point of being disingenuous not to answer Senator Paul when asked directly, when I knew what the answer was because I heard it when the shoe was on the other foot and those doctors wanted to keep the Obama transgender mandate in place. This is scary times when we're going to see this push, especially when it comes to minor children, 12 to 18, to have radical surgeries that will sterilize them, and you cannot turn back. And I'm afraid that's where HHS may be going if Levine gets confirmed.
I think that's important to highlight this point, the evasiveness. And I want to see, this is the response in this exchange. I'm not going to play we don't have time to play the whole question, the whole statement from Senator Paul, but this is Levine's response to Senator Paul's question about whether children should be allowed to do this. Let's listen.
Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I would look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
So, Roger, are you of the position that Levine has a stronger position, a clearer position on the issue than we saw there?
I heard it directly. When I asked the question, what about children and minors and adolescents? And we had this very respectful discussion on what is the state of the treatments. And yes, indeed, all the doctors there, including Levine, affirmed that it is indicated for minors. Adolescents, that you could do these permanent cross-sex hormones that deepen the person's voice, if you're female, that start changing the secondary sex characteristics, and could lead to sterility, and including permanent surgeries. Now, of course, everybody needs to be treated with respect and with dignity. Everybody needs to be shown kindness and compassion. The question is there only one possible answer to this question? That you go running downhill towards permanent surgeries and hormones, even sometimes against the wishes of the parents? I think that's a wrong choice for public policy, and certainly not for healthcare. And I'm afraid with Levine, that's the direction we're going.
Yeah, in the next segment, we're actually going to speak to a state lawmaker from Arkansas who is sponsoring legislation to prevent that from happening for minors. But Roger, based on your experience in HHS, given what you know and what you're telling us about Levine's history and the likelihood that this will be a priority, what power will he have to actually affect policy around the country? What changes could be made from within HHS that would see this become more common?
Oh, well, the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, this is the position. It's effectively the top doctor. And you've heard the Surgeon General. Surgeon General is the top doctor that's public-facing, public advocacy. This is the top doctor that really has the biggest impact on the programs and what is getting funded. The Office of Women's Health is under the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Health, and of Youth and Adolescent Health as well. These are the programs where so much federal money goes towards, and it should be driven by science, not by ideology. Imagine, what does it mean to have the head of the Office of Women's Health be influenced by a notion that it doesn't really matter what your biology is, that men could actually get pregnant, which is in fact standard now, transgender ideology. If you identify as male, you could still get pregnant. I mean, what does that do to the practice of medicine?
No, you make a really good point, and I, we don't have time to get it, but the implications for those who would disagree with this within the agency and within the country are also things that we have a lot of concern about. But Roger Severino, thank you so much for taking your time. I know we will call on you again on this important subject. Thanks for your time today.
You're welcome.
You can find out more about Roger Severino, as well as Rachel Levine's far-left record, when you visit tonyperkins.com. When we come back, Arkansas State Representative Robin Lundstrom and the SAFE Act.
The left has sought to redefine the truth about family, marriage, sexuality, gender, and the sanctity of life. Now more than ever, Christians must become equipped to address these difficult issues from a biblical perspective. FRC's Biblical Worldview series offers answers to the most pressing issues facing our culture. You will learn to think biblically about human sexuality, pro-life engagement, religious liberty, and political engagement. To access these free resources, visit frc.org/worldview.
Stay up to date on what's happening at Family Research Council by downloading our Stand Firm app. We share all of our latest content there, so it's easy for you to have all you need in one place. See the latest tweets, articles, videos, radio programs, and blog posts all in one spot. Visit the App Store on your phone and search for FRC's Stand Firm app to get a conservative, biblically informed source for what is happening in our nation's capital. Download the Stand Firm app today.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. There is legislation before the Arkansas State Legislature that would prevent doctors from administering gender hormone treatment to minors. Joining guest host Joseph Backholm to share what the bill means to her state is the author of the bill, Robin Lundstrom.
Representative Lundstrom, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello. Good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to speak with you again, and it was great to see you, I guess, a couple weeks ago now. It's been in Arkansas when we were working on this together. Now, tell people what your bill does. I introduced it a little bit, but why you've gotten to the point of sponsoring this bill.
Well, this bill is a very tightly crafted bill that basically says that children under the age of 18 cannot have sex change surgery or chemical castration, basically, but it very tightly says you can't do this to children. We don't allow children to have illegal drugs. We don't have allow children to smoke or drink. This bill protects the children of Arkansas from these type of procedures and allows them to get to be 18 where they can make adult decisions, and it protects those children. At least we hope it will protect those children, and we hope the bill passes.
What kind of response is it getting so far in the legislature?
It's been great. The legislature has really stepped up. In the House, it passed by 70 votes, and now it's gone to the Senate committee, and it passed overwhelmingly in the Senate committee. The bill also allows for counseling. It doesn't deny any health procedures or anything like that. Unfortunately, a lot of people have tried to make it into something that it's not. But I'm really thankful that members have stepped up and looked at the bill and read the bill, and the bill was very well done. I can't take credit for it. It's a group effort. And I'm excited. I hope it passes. We'll see.
Well, we're excited, and we're thankful that you're doing it, because we know that when you step out on something like this, and we're gonna talk about what's going on with Governor Noem in South Dakota in the next segment. And when you step out on an issue like this, these really have become third rail issues for so many politicians, and many don't want to touch this stuff. So we commend you for your courage in not only being willing to touch it, but being willing to lead and getting others to follow you in that effort. But what kind of a response are you getting from your constituents when you talk about this?
My constituents have had my back. They have been wonderful. There have been groups that don't like the bill, and they have been very vocal. I wish they would read the bill and understand that we're not blocking counseling, that this is meant to protect children. And I think if they would look into it a little bit deeper, they might be less aggressive and less vicious about it. But that's part of, as you said, stepping out. But I'm not the only one. There are other legislators that are stepping out and running difficult bills, so I can't pat myself on the back. There are a lot of legislators, and I'm not the only state that other legislators are stepping out and also willing to take the lead and doing this type of legislation. So I'm thankful that I have groups like Family Council that's stepped up and they're helping, and I'm very appreciative of that.
Well, and that's a great point, and for those who are listening to understand this, that this not only takes you as a legislator, but Family Council there in Arkansas, as well as other legislators around the state who communicate together. And Robin, maybe you can tell me this, because last year there were 19 bills like this, not all identical, but similar subject, that ran in various state legislatures. This year, 18 states have introduced a related similar bill. Do you guys communicate with each other across state boundaries on what you're doing?
Some. We hear about things that are going on in other states. I've actually reached out. I'm a Republican, and I reached out to a Democrat in Williamsburg and just asked him to give me a shout and wanted to encourage him because he was running a similar bill. So this type of bill, though, crosses party lines. This isn't about Republican or Democrat. It's about protecting children. And so I reached out to him and said, is there anything I can do to help you? This is important. So I'm excited to do something like that. It's nice to cross party lines and say, this isn't about being a Republican or Democrat. Yeah.
You make a good point. This really is. Polling shows this repeatedly, and the coalitions of groups that come together across the political spectrum on behalf of this issue really prove the point that you've made there, that this is not a left-right issue. This is a science versus, science fiction, kind of truth versus reality issue in so many ways. But we thank you for this. Very quickly, you can hear the music, but we got about 45 seconds. Tell me, do you expect this to be successful in Arkansas?
I hope so. I think it's got a really good chance of being successful. I think if people pull together and realize this is about protecting children and keeping them from suicide and all the bad things that can happen to them, and let them get to be adults, a lot of good things can happen.
Well, Representative Robin Lundstrom from Arkansas, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your courage. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Find ways that you can positively impact the political process and the world around you when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And be sure to follow us on your favorite social media platform, including Gab. We'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Would you like to spend more time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible. The Stand on the Word 2-year Bible reading plan takes you through the Scripture every day in an engaging manner. Start reading with FRC today. When you sign up, we text you every Sunday with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible.
Where do you get your news? Do you have confidence you're getting the full truth? If you want to stay up to date on conservative news and are looking for Christian resources to help you stay politically engaged, then download Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. With all of our content available at your fingertips, you will conveniently be able to stay up to date throughout your busy day. The Stand Firm app will give you access to a variety of resources, such as our most recent radio programs, social media posts, and publications. Additionally, you will have the opportunity to take action and make your voice heard by contacting your elected officials on the issues that most concern you. Visit the App Store on your smartphone or mobile device and search Stand Firm to download Family Research Council's official Stand Firm app. Stay informed with a trusted source. Again, search Stand Firm to download the Stand Firm app.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Over the past year, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has really made a name for herself by standing up to the politically correct crowd. She turned a lot of heads this week when she decided to veto a bill that would protect women's sports in the state from being overrun by transgendered men. Joining guest host Joseph Backholm to talk about the governor's rationale is Kristen Wagner, General Counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom.
Kristen, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for your time.
Well, thanks for having me, Joseph.
Well, we are glad to have you, and I'd love your thoughts on what's going on in South Dakota. It seems as much as it's about policy, it is now about politics. What do you think is happening?
Well, I agree with you, and politics isn't something that ADF usually gets involved in because we're about law and policy, but when we see it being bungled this badly, we feel an obligation to speak out. Governor Noem has unfortunately now become the first governor in the United States to eliminate new protections for college female athletes, gutting the ability for all women and girls to have any recourse against policies in women's sports that would allow men to compete on women's teams.
Now, she's made a variety of statements as to why she's doing this. I'm going to play part one of those explanations here, and then I want to ask you to respond to this.
Sure.
If the NCAA did take action against the state of South Dakota, we could sue them. I know we could do that. But these respected legal scholars inform me we would likely lose at that level facing the court circumstances that we have in front of us. So we could pass a law, then we could get punished, then we could face expensive litigation at taxpayer expense, and then we could lose. We'd have nothing but a participation trophy to show for it. Or we could take a different path entirely.
Well, Kristen, Governor Noem says that these respected legal experts have told her that she's going to lose in court if she signs this bill. Now, you are a respected legal expert, a multiple-time winner at the Supreme Court. So what say you about this? Is she correct that this is just a legal loser?
No, and it's hard to keep up with the explanation she's giving for the bad decision that has been made. You know, she began by justifying her actions and saying, well, the NCAA has a policy and, you know, I'm just trying to abide by the NCAA's requirements. Well, then when we smoke that out and the NCAA has no policy that requires men to compete on women's teams, then, you know, the bar was moved to something else. And there is no conservative, respected legal scholar that would ever suggest that the law requires men to compete on women's teams. In fact, federal law would say the opposite. But states have the right to be able to make clear in their states that fair play should be the name of the game. And unfortunately, this does require a governor to exercise real leadership, and sometimes that means taking some heat and making some hard decisions. But that's what's right for girls and women. They should be given equal opportunities, not have their officials pander to woke corporate ideology, which is exactly what's happening here.
Well, and the leadership component of this is one that's strange, because she had previously made some very strong and good statements on this. And even as she's trying to backtrack on this, she's still saying she's on our side of this issue. So what's the difference between her and the governors of Idaho and Mississippi who have already passed this, and we know governors of other states who will pass this year? What do you think is the difference?
Courage. I got to tell you, Joseph, I think that's what it is. It is understanding that if we continue to cave to Amazon and continue to cave to woke corporatism, we are losing our rights. We're losing opportunities for women and girls to be able to compete on a fair playing field. And this bullying, you stand up to bullies. Real leadership does that. Also, I think one of the things that she's said that's been misleading is the idea that she's going to lead some sort of coalition. There already is a broad coalition that actually has the left and the right on it, which they're made up of athletes, legislators, other governors, other attorneys general. In fact, 14 different state attorney generals have signed a brief in support of the Idaho law. So we want to have her a part of this movement, but right. It has to do more than just give mere lip service.
And you make a good point there. I think one that's worth driving home is in her explanation, she's claimed to start this Defend Title IX Now initiative. And she says it's a more effective way of defending women's sports. Is this actually a thing? Is there anybody in this initiative with her? Is this just something that got thrown together this week because she wants to look like she's still on our side? Do you know anything about this?
I do. The website for her new coalition went up 24 hours before her press conference. Her press conference came out after it was exposed that there is no NCAA policy that requires her to take this position. So this is about repairing political, repairing damage to one's political reputation and credibility. And it's smoke and mirrors. It's political theater. Follow the lead of the Idaho and Mississippi governors. Follow the lead of the 14 state attorney generals, who also are respected legal scholars, and have signed on to a brief saying that these provisions protect women and girls, and that they follow federal law, and that they're appropriate and constitutional. So I think there's a lot of people she can join in a coalition that's already going. Reinventing the wheel or coming late to the game and pretending that you're the coach, it shouldn't work. That's not leadership.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And understanding, for a lot of people who are not involved in the legislative process, kind of the lawmaking process, these bills don't just come up over the weekend. They don't just appear out of the ether because somebody sat down at their computer on Saturday morning and wrote something. These take months and years of deliberation, these pieces of legislation. So what's going on in South Dakota is not something that somebody just came up with. There has been this movement. And to your point, the idea that this initiative got put together 24 hours before her initiative to announce it was launched is an indication that is likely much more political theater than it is a substantive effort to address the issue, because frankly, that coalition had been put together a long time before. Now, Kristen, she talks about these respected legal experts that she is consulting with who are giving this advice. Do you have any sense of who that would be and who she is listening to?
I'm not even going to speculate on that. I think it's interesting that no one has dared to, she hasn't revealed any of those names. And the only people litigating in this area are ADF attorneys, and we certainly weren't consulted. We're representing high school and collegiate athletes in two different lawsuits and have been litigating and working in courts and legislatures for several years on these issues. Your listeners could also go to savewomensports.com to see a great example example of the coalition that's been created, and it also details how many different states are considering these bills right now. There's no question that she made a critical mistake by pandering to Amazon and the NCAA and thought she could soothe conservatives with words, empty words. And she still has the opportunity to sign this bill, though. And so we're hoping that she will and join the coalition to stand up to the NCAA. But you don't cave to a bully. You sign the bill, you join the coalition, and we move forward together.
I think you're right. And honestly, I think what's happening here, and we've seen on these issues in the last decade, things that have happened in Arizona, even when Vice President Pence was the governor of Indiana and he famously caved on some things that were important to us. Mm-hmm. One thing that I do think the Trump administration did was instill something of a spine on conservatives and kind of set this example that you don't have to cave, and that's not the best way to deal with bullies because you don't win when you do. Now, Kristen, what do you think is going to be the outcome of this situation in South Dakota?
It's difficult to say. I know that the South Dakota legislators passed that bill overwhelmingly, that it was a work in process, and that the Governor Noem came out and said she was going to sign it just 2 weeks ago. So, you know, not only are they deeply disturbed by what she did in terms of removing any protections for college athletes, removing any right of girls in K through 12 to be able to have any remedy if their rights are violated, but she used what's called this form and style veto in what most of those legislators believe to be an unconstitutional manner. So there is concern as much about the substance of this bill, but also about how she did it, because she is not a policymaker and she's acting like one in this instance.
And she claims to be doing this in the effort to avoid litigation, when in fact the way she did it might in fact get her plenty of litigation. Kristen Wagner, General Counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom, thank you so much. And I will say, on behalf of my three daughters who are all athletes, thank you for your efforts on their behalf.
Well, thank you. It's on behalf of my daughter as well, Joseph, so I join you in that.
I appreciate it very much, Kristen. Thank you for your time.
Bye.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, encouraging you to pray for our nation. I want to thank you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.